All right, let's just begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you, thank you. Lord of heaven and earth, the creator. Would you seek your face this evening? We praise you, we honor you, we love you. Just bless the words that will be spoken tonight. We ask for your Holy Spirit, God. Come, come Holy Spirit, fill us, use us. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Good evening, saints.
Good evening.
All right. Thanksgiving. Now I just, you know, I guess you can probably already know that we can easily find excuses to complain, right? Like we can complain so easy. I speak for myself, right? I spill my coffee, I bump my toe, whatever, you know. But the world has always complaints. Sometimes you speak to people that are complaining about, you know, relationships, it's my wife, whatever, my car. Like, we just get rolling with this nonsense, you know? But it's an attitude, right? It's a mindset, like how we think about things. Like, I know for myself, it's right in the beginning, how do I think about my job, my life, whatever it is, but it's a Christ, right? Like, if we think that, I'm so thankful for my wife who's going to listen to me, just, you know, mumble. She says, you mumble, you know. So she listens to me mumble, all right. Thank you, Lord, my kids. And what God is doing in my kids, like, we don't count our kids out, right? The prodigal, don't worry about it. Like, the rejoice, be thankful. God is amazing. He'll do whatever it is he will do, all right? And it's amazing. And I just thinking of this verse as I was thinking of what to talk about, so Philippians 1:3-5. So it just says, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for our fellowship in the gospel in the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So some points here. I thank my God upon every remembrance. And I just wanted to focus just in the body, really. Just the body. Like, this is what, you know, Paul's saying, remembrance. Like, you think about people, right? You ever just randomly think about somebody? Be thankful you thought about that person. Pray for that person. That's like evidence of the Holy Spirit working in you, right? Like, I just thought of so-and-so. I thought of Mike. I'm going to pray for him, you know? But like Paul says, remembrance, then there's prayer, and there's joy, right? We can rejoice and be glad that God is using us to think about people at random times, anytime, you know? It's amazing. You can be pretty stressed out in your day, and all of a sudden you think of somebody, right? Does that ever happen? It's amazing. It's like, oh, good. I can check out of this misery for a second and pray for somebody, you know? Fellowship, like we've been talking about in class, the fellowship of the body, fellowship of, we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with the body, right? And so my focus is like that we draw near, like even in the physical body, like it says that our bodies are intelligent and we can heal ourselves. Isn't that amazing? Like with chiropractor help, right? Perhaps, right? Good care and good nutrition, your body can actually heal itself. You know, instead of like, you know, a medicine here or whatever it is, you know, I'm not saying this happens sometimes, but your body is very intelligent. Like we can believe that. And with proper research, how to take care of it, right? But look, our body here, we can heal ourselves. Like Christ is here. He's the center, right? And I'm saying there is some stuff that God has to miraculously do, whatever. But hasn't he healed us, right? He's healed my broken heart, my empty soul. He's healed me, you know? Like I have a wife and kids, right? Because I drew near to the body. I'm going through a difficult time, the body. So it's like rejoice, be glad we have a body here. Everyone here. If there was 5, 3, 1 person, rejoice. We have somebody to talk to and fellowship with, and we fellowship with God, you know? So it's amazing when you think of Thanksgiving. Just think of that we are in our homes, we fellowship, we have the body in our homes also, and just praise God. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you again, and Just lift up everything to you, Lord, our necessities, mm-hmm. our thanksgiving, Lord, mm-hmm. our minds, our soul, our heart. Jesus, thank you, praise you, amen.
If you have your Bibles, do you don't mind turning to Romans 1? Lord, just bless these few words in your name. Amen. All right, so Romans 1, verse 20 to 21. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Just want to think about that verse in verse 21, how they didn't not only glorify him, but they didn't thank him. And I was thinking, as a believer, am I only chasing after God for my benefit or what I receive? It's kind of ironic how America has the same thoughts that as a believer should think every single day. Americans think about it only one day a year. And I don't know about you. I remember my late teenage years. I remember seeing commercials about stores. And stores wouldn't even dare open near Thanksgiving. I mean, it'd be like Friday, but it would be spaced out. Enough time to, I mean, after you eat, after you recuperate, after you sleep, whatever the activity, the stores would never open near Thanksgiving. And I just see the years, the spiritual discernment, the years, how they come near and near, and Satan tries to attack what? Fellowship. Attack what? Family, you know? And here in America, we can put things in like, oh, I'm thankful when I receive a material thing. Well, I'm thankful when things go my way. And here, this is the only reason. This is a way, like, they're not glorifying him, but then they're also not thankful. Why are they not thankful? Because they don't know him. And as a believer, it's like, okay, God, am I just with you just because you give me X, Y, and Z, or you gave me the woman of my dreams, or the man of my dreams, or you made me go to a school, or you made me get a great job and a nice car and this and that. Am I only with you, Lord, because of these things? And the answer should be no. I'm with them because of him, right? A couple of weeks ago, many of you know I've been ministering to some young guys. And I told them, I said, hey, let's hang out, right? Little did they know that I was going to go to Walmart to go grocery shopping because a man got to eat. So for their mindset, they're like, wait a minute, we're not doing our usual activities. We're not doing the, the excitement of the night. No, you're not. But you're just hanging out with me, you know? Is that enough? And I do that sometimes with the kids, you know? Like, it's not that I'm just getting, you know, like, oh, critical, like, okay, I just want a friend. No. But the thing is, it's like, just being with me, is that enough? And I just think about our relationship with God. It's like, God, are you enough? Are you enough? Do I need everything? Do I need my life to be, cozy, you know, everything smooth like gravy? And I'm making a lot of Thanksgiving analogies right now, but I'm just saying, like, this is not why I'm with them. I'm with them. Why? Because I glorify him for who he is. And I'll just leave you with that. And in verse 20, it says, in the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How are they clearly seen? Because we have a spiritual eye. We have a spiritual mind. And thank God for Ezekiel 36:26. We have a new heart. And this heart that cries out in Romans 8, Abba, Father, knowing that there's something new, there's something more. It says in like John 10:10, it's like we can have this life more abundantly. Like people just live ordinary lives and it's like, and they're all miserable and they're all negative. And it's like, wake up. You woke up this morning, right? I went around. And one morning I came around and said, oh, did you know we got a bonus? And like all my coworkers got excited. They're like, really, really? And I was like, yeah, you just woke up, right? You just woke up. And you know, and they all like had a smile on their face. And it's like, wow, how fast are we when we have news? How fast are we? I mean, it was fake news, but how fast was it when they just like, oh, what? Something's happening for me? I'm going to get benefited some way or how? Yeah. Just the little things to be thankful for. Lord, just thank you for this time and just bless Pastor Locke's portion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thankful. All right, so what did we learn? Carlos is thankful for his wife tolerating his mumbles. All right, that's good. Patient wife, that's very thankful. But then what was the message? Thankful for the body of Christ.
That's right.
And the life that we have in the body of Christ. Pastor Donald, that was a good word. Thankfulness works in my life. That thankful, not only am I thankful, but also thankfulness does something in my life. And it changes my thoughts, it changes my attitudes, it changes my direction. So that's beautiful. Quite a few months ago, I don't know when it was, before COVID maybe, I got a phone call one day and said, hey, this is Pastor Douglas Locke coming your way, moving down. I'm a prayer warrior, and also I like to go on evangelism. This is what I do. We're coming your way. And I said, okay, great. And I didn't know what to expect. I said, I don't know. I don't know Pastor Douglas Locke. I don't know Paula, but I'm excited they're coming here. And they've been with us for, I don't know, how long has it been? Have you been?
Since February.
Since February. Oh, okay. Right before everything changed. And they've been a part, they just came and they've just been a part of the body here. And I so much appreciate you guys. They're so encouraging. There's Pastor Douglas on evangelism every week. He's praying with somebody. He's out here in front of Pleasant Pizza talking. We're holding signs and he's over there talking to everybody. It's beautiful. Paula and her ministry of prayer and her like love for the body of Christ and serving and beautifying the place. Have you noticed the flowers? You walk in the front door, there's flowers.
Yeah.
That's Paula. She came to me, she said, could I do something? Could I add some of touch? I said, I would love that. Because I don't know, right? I'm sure it's needed, but I couldn't do it. But anyway, if you don't know them, get to know them. They're very, just a great couple. They love the Lord. They love being here in the church. So I asked Pastor Douglas to come up and speak this evening.
Okay, beautiful. I love that song you sang. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Those songs, those older songs are wonderful. You can turn to 1 Timothy, please, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Just bless it to our hearts. Thank you for the body here. Thank you for Pastor Norman. In Jesus' name. Let's just close our eyes for a minute, everyone, and just lift your hands and just thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Just thank him. Just focus on him. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that your name is wonderful. We thank you that we can lift you up. We thank you for your precious blood on the cross. We thank you for your finished work for us. Lord, we thank you for writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're so grateful to you, God. We just love you so much tonight, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our families. Thank you for this body. Thank you, Lord. Paul and I are so grateful to be in this body. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.
I am thankful for having a responsibility to be used by God. Verse 1. Chapter 2, 1 Timothy, verse 1. First of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, and I'm reading from the Amplified, and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. He's giving us an admonishment and an urging for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life. So in order to have a quiet and undisturbed life, we have a responsibility to pray for people in authority. An undisturbed life and an inwardly a peaceful one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. Verse 3, for such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved. What does he wish? He wants all men and women. He wants all to be saved. That's God's heart. and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth, which is that there is only one God and only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all people, a fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. So what's God's heartbeat? As you're turning to James chapter 5, God's heartbeat is that we have a responsibility and ability to pray for all men, people in positions of authority. That's our responsibility. Paul says, I admonish you and urge you to. James 5, 16b. Listen to this powerful verse. This is incredible. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power and available dynamic in its working. So we have a responsibility to pray, seek God's face, and to talk to God about what? Not our problems and about things that we want in our lives, but about the salvation of souls. And I love it. We have front Monday night prayer meetings, and we love it. One of the pastors on the prayer time says, he just keeps praying for souls. Just pray for souls. Just pray for souls. But we have a responsibility to pray for people, and God gives us that admonishment to the Apostle Paul. And it's just, I am so grateful that I made a time in my life. I'm sure all of you do. I don't want to boast about me, but I'm sure all of you do make a time in your life during the day where you spend time with God. And if you don't, you better do it. You just got to get along. You pick whatever time. You just get on your knees before God. Forget about the clock. It's not, oh God, I'm going to give you a half hour. It doesn't work that way. You get before God. You spend time with God. And you just talk to him. And I have been going through a program myself, personally, because when I hear things, in Numbers chapter 6, don't turn there. In Numbers 16, I'm going to get back to what I was saying. In Numbers 16, when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were going through the wilderness with Moses, and Moses is leading the people out of Egypt and going to the wilderness, and these three tribes, all they did toward the end of that journey, they would just kept murmuring and complaining. Nothing, they weren't happy. Nothing was going their way. I don't like this. I don't like the sand. I don't like the manna. I don't like that. Nothing was going their way. They just were not happy. They just murmured and complained constantly. And so they said to Moses, they got to a point in their life when they said, you know what, Moses, we don't like what you're doing. And we don't even think you're the one who should be leading us out of Egypt. We don't agree with who God chose. We don't even agree with God. So Moses said to them, okay, listen, what I want you to do then, if you don't like what I'm doing, tomorrow I want you to fill your censers and come on up tomorrow, all you three tribes, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and you come up with me in the morning, we'll go before God, and we'll see who God chose to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. You know what they said to God's man? They said, we're not coming up. We're not going to come up to him. Who do you think you are, Moses? Made a ruler over us? You put yourself in this position. We're not coming up to see you. That is attitude. Which just got so bad that they had no capacity to respond to God's man. So what did Moses say? Well, what do you think God's going to do? Listen, Moses said something. He said, what do you think God's going to do? He's going to open up the earth and swallow you down whole alive? And that's just what happened. If you read it, the earth opened up and they all went down to hell alive. Them and their parents and their tents and everything they owned went right down. Done. God said, I had enough. God said, I had enough. So then all the tribes of Israel were just running around screaming, this earth's going to swallow us up too. So hopefully they had a capacity there to respond to God's grace and God's mercy. But so these people that I pray for in the morning, and in Luke, I'll just read another verse to you. In Luke, when it says Jesus was coming to a Samaritan village, but the people would not welcome or receive him. This is Luke 9:53 and 54. Or accept him because his face was set, as it were, to go into Jerusalem. And listen to these guys, these three characters. And his disciples, James and John, observed this. They said, Lord, you wish us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Hey, these people aren't receiving you, Jesus. Hey, let's call fire down and burn these people up. You know, that's wrong, Jesus. No, that's not what we're going to do. But when I have a time of prayer in the morning, I have a list of people I go through. And when I read about them in the paper, I hear about them on the news, all these people in the throne, I'm not going to go through the list of names, you know who they are, all these people in the media, the news broadcasters, and these governors and senators, I go through the list, I said, you know what, God, if I were you, I'd just take to bring the fire down and consume them. Just give them a little scorching, you know, just burn something. Yes, that's not, God says, no. But my responsibility is to pray for them because they're in positions of authority. And I love it. I love it. I'm so thankful to God that I can go before him in the morning and say, God, I lift these people up to you by name because maybe I'll be able to pull them out of the fire. Maybe I'll be able to keep them from going into hell. Maybe. So I know, pick some people. Pick a list of people that really rub you the wrong way in government. You know, like Pelosi and Schumer and all these kind of people. You know what I mean? And Don Lemon on CNN. And just pick them. If they rub you the wrong way, man, don't bring fire down on them. That's not going to work. Because I think Moses would have rather had it than the 4 days in the neighborhood. If they were to turn their hearts towards God, Moses would have said, great. God could use you while you're alive, not when you're dead down in hell. He can't use you when you're in hell. When you're alive, maybe if you have a capacity to respond to his grace, God gives you mercy. He said, wow, look, God. Moses is saying, God's changing their hearts. They're responding. But Moses couldn't reach him. So pick these people. Pick some people. Just do it. Get along with God in the morning. And you know what's interesting? I told this to Pastor Norman one day. I was praying for these people by name, and I get this voice coming in. Oh, don't pray for them. You did the same thing yesterday. You prayed for those people yesterday. God doesn't want to hear that. You don't have to pray for them again. Whoa. I said, where's that coming from?
Yeah.
What kingdom is that coming from?
Yeah.
No, sorry. No way. Sorry. You know, you lost at Calvary, Colossians 2:15, Revelation 20, verse 10. You're going to burn in the lake of fire forever. I don't have to listen to you. I said, good. You gave me an opportunity to even pray harder. You know, when I get there sometimes and I say, Lord, I'm going to lift these people. I just say, start praying for them. And I just may spend the time on one person, Lord. I don't know what they're going through in their life. When they're in a position of authority, like former Vice President Joe Biden. I don't know what he's going through in his life. I have no clue. I don't like whatever's going on, but he's not my choice. But I don't know what's going on in his life. He needs prayer. He's not saved. If he was saved, he wouldn't be going for some of those programs that he's pushing. He'd be worshiping God. But you see what I mean? Just pick somebody. And just be grateful and thankful to God because it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility in 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Because they need to know who God is. They need to know who the Savior is. They need to know that God loves them. They have no clue. And maybe we're the ones standing in the gap to bring them to that place of salvation. So, Father, we just thank you for this portion. We just thank you for the body of Christ. And we love you. And we thank you for tomorrow and what we celebrate in the United States of America, and cause us, God, to just start praying for people by name, because who knows, we can pull them out of hell if it's possible. Amen.
How many people can say that where you are because someone prayed for you? Isn't that great to know? That's like what he's saying. We have the ability and we have access to God by faith to pray for people. That's good, isn't it? We can pray for people. We pray that people would get saved. We pray that people would come to know God in a real way, relationship. We pray that people would stop parking in our parking space at the apartment complex. Right? We pray that the person who doesn't clean up after their dog in the neighborhood would repent. Right? We pray for them. But we pray for our family members, we pray for our children, we pray for body members, like Carlos was talking about, that there are people that we have in our life that are put here because God has put us in a place to be with them. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Like if you were here on a Sunday morning tonight, we have some people here, but it's a little, you know, not many. But we're here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jeremiah's here. Come on. But we have people, you come into the church and you look around and you say, in what other capacity would I be in the same building as these people? Really? You could find it. And then you could say, hallelujah. And this one, maybe in Walmart, would be the only other option, or Target, or Hannaford, or something, depending on where I shop. But only in the church is it possible that I'm together with these people. And that's a gift. That's a gift. And then on top of that, I have the opportunity to pray for these people. And then also know that people are praying for me. That's a great privilege and a great, great truth that we live by. We have our Thanksgivings tomorrow. And however we're going to celebrate. Different maybe, right? How many people made plans and then those plans changed? So you made other plans and those plans changed. So then you're just whatever. And then I'll be with my family or something. Right? It's okay. We're thankful that we have that time to be with our family or to be with whoever we're with or be to be quiet alone. That's okay. I don't know. I'm trying to find a good segue into what I was going to say, and it's just not connecting. So we just got to make a hard shift and just go for it, right? I love Thanksgiving. The principle. I love the holiday. I love it. Thanksgiving. It's a great holiday, but the principle of Thanksgiving, it can change our life. It honestly can change our life. Changes my outlook. It changes my understanding of things. It changes my understanding of myself. Has anybody have this? You have this propensity to greed or to selfishness? No, just me? Okay. Oh, yeah, we got a head nod. What's your name?
Leo.
Leo? Oh, that's Leo. Oh, man. You know what's funny? I saw you walk in. I said, man, Jeremiah's friend looks just like Leo. Because it is Leo. Man. With the masks on, we never know. It's like, man, I wonder if Leo knows he's got a twin walking around somewhere. He doesn't because he is Leo. Yeah, so we have that in us, don't we? Selfishness, greed. And if I walk in my selfishness, I look for what I deserve. And I look for what I'm supposed to get. Because I am. Like that song, because I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Right. But what breaks that? Thankfulness. Thankfulness can change my attitude about how I approach things, what I think I am due. But instead, I recognize what I have, I recognize what I am doing, and I recognize God's call, and I recognize His grace. And I recognize His mercy. How about that, Pastor Donald's testimony? He went around work spreading a rumor that everyone was getting a bonus. I'm surprised you didn't get punched.
Yeah.
What? I'm loving it. Right? What do you mean you're not? You're messing with me about a bonus. Right? Would have lost a tooth, some people. The bonus. What is it? The fact that you have breath in your lungs is a gracious gift from God. Thank you, Lord. Have you started your day in that simplicity? Oh, thank you. I could open both eyes this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. I fill my lungs with air and then oxygen is spread throughout my body and my brain actually functions. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it functions well or at high capacity, but I'm saying it functions, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for my house. Thank you for my bed. Thank you for my food in my refrigerator, even if it's just ramen noodles again. Thank you, Lord, for ramen noodles. Have you ever eaten ramen noodles without boiling the water? You're just desperate. Just crunch, crunch, crunch. Right? I walked into my house one day and one of our roommates, before I was married, he was just sitting there eating a brick of ramen noodles. I was like, man, I'm sorry for whatever condition you're in right now, where it was too difficult to take three steps and boil water. But thank you, Lord, for ramen noodles. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you for my car. Thank you for the air and the tires. Thank you for the gasoline. Thank you for this thing moving. Thank you for that guy. And you can get going down the road with Thanksgiving. And it honestly will change your attitude, change your outlook. But then what Thanksgiving does is that it gets me up into the courts of heaven. I work my way up to God. in a sense, not in a legalist, but in a sense that I find my thinking coming from there now because I'm thanksgiving, because of recognizing God in my life. And then there is a supply in heaven. It says in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your needs according to what? According to his riches in glory. His riches are my supply. That is amazing. And I can get there with thankfulness. His riches in glory. What does that mean? The word glory. Have you wondered about the word glory? I have. I still do. I'm still kind of curious about what it means. I don't know, really. The Greek word is doxa, right? And glory, you know, the doxology, glorifying something. Glory. What is God's glory? The glory, we could say the glory of God is the perfection of his nature. The perfection of his nature, that who he is and then what that is his glory. We could spend a lot of time defining God and searching the definition of God. And in that we find his glory, we find his nature. And in his nature there is a perfection. That is, it says in 1 John 1:5, in him is light and there is no darkness at all. It's perfect. It's glorious. It's glorious. We use that word freely, don't we? You go down to Crown Fried Chicken, you get a little chicken leg, and you take a bite. Whoa, it's glorious. Glorious. Hallelujah. We use it that way, but it is the reality of it. It is God. God is glorious. He is perfect. In his nature, he is perfect. Now, he supplies my needs from the perfection of his nature. That's where I meet God, in the perfection of his nature and who he is and what he is and how he thinks. That is where I am supplied. My life is supplied there, and I find it through thanksgiving. I recognize it by thanksgiving. Not by greed, not by selfishness, not by being a victim, but by thanksgiving. And then from there, everything is different. Everybody is different in my life. Those I agree with, those I disagree with, those who I just can't stand, I see them differently because I am thankful for what God is doing in my own life. So this is something that changes us. And the thing I want to say tonight, the perfection of his nature, we are supplied, our needs are supplied from his riches and glory. That is our resource. And what I want to say is that resource can never be exhausted. That resource can never be emptied. And there is never a time where my needs stress out God's supply. Imagine that. Remember back in March, the supply chain of toilet paper was overwhelmed and it was exhausted. Wasn't it? You go to the grocery store. Did you notice the grocery store, that aisle that had toilet paper? They just started putting random stuff there because they were just empty shelves. I went one place and they just had like a couple like shovels and like baskets there. I'm like, what is this? Like, this is the most random thing I've ever seen. It was, the supply was exhausted. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love for you is never exhausted by you. Right? You can never, we have that idea like, I've gone too far, right? I shouldn't have done that. I cannot go because there's not enough there for me. There's not enough love in God that he would continue to love me after what I've done. No, don't think that way. Think that my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. And when does he supply your needs? When you're doing well? Right? Does he say, man, this guy's doing good, I'm going to supply him for his needs? Is it because I'm impressed with him or because I'm encouraged by his good work? No. Yes, in my good time, yes. But also in my difficulty, in my discouragement, in my despair, in my failure, always I have access to this supply, the riches of his glory. So don't let anybody or anything distract you. Don't let yourself distract you from the riches of God's glory. because they are there for you. They are open for you. And there's never a time where you can wear it out. Have you, you know, you get your credit card and you start using it, and it's just a swipe, and you don't feel any pain in it. That's why it's good to use cash, because you feel it, that there's a pain in it moving and it leaving. You're like, eee. Like, have you ever noticed you have a $20 bill? Anybody ever experienced that, having a $20 bill? Yeah, okay, good. We all understand this. A $20 bill, when it's all together, it feels like you have something. But as soon as you break the $20 bill, it's like gone, isn't it? It's gone. Even a $100 bill is like nothing. It's gone. And once it's broken, it's gone. And you can just feel like it's going away, and all you have left is like half a pack of gum. And you're like, what just happened? Where did it go? And it's good to feel that pain of losing and leaving money, or recognize it. But you get the credit, you just start swiping, and you're like, man, this is fun. Man, this is such a good time. You just keep, and then all of a sudden you get a little warning on the phone. Wah, 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 right? Limit reached. Capacity overextended. Like, you cannot take any more. You have taken everything that is allowed to you, and now you're going to start paying it back with interest compounding for the rest of your life. But God is not that way. Imagine if the Bible, like, you had your Bible and it had like a little light on it, said, like, you know, capacity for grace overwhelmed, right? You're cut off. Come back at the beginning of the month and you'll see there will be a fresh supply of grace. There will never be a time where God says, easy, buddy. Easy, buddy. I got love for you, but take it easy. Right? I love you, but hey, whoa. I don't know. When I was a kid, we had a water fountain in the school. Yeah, remember the water fountain? I don't think we can use those anymore. Or we have it, right? We have the bottle filled one. But you know, whenever somebody was at the water fountain, you're waiting in line, it was automatic. Hey, save some for the whales. That was like the automatic statement. Anybody ever experienced that? That phrase? Okay, good. Not alone here. Save some for the fish. There is no attitude like that with God. Right? There is no, and we understand that about ourselves. Lord, I won't let anything keep me from coming boldly to the throne of grace to receive in time of need. And then also, I don't want to do anything that would inhibit anybody else from running boldly to the throne of grace. Okay. In closing, in the law of Moses, there is the cities of refuge. You're familiar with it? When they set up the Israel, when they finally moved into the promised land, they picked nine cities. Is it nine cities? The cities of refuge. And they had six on one side of the Jordan River and three on the other side of the Jordan River. But there was somebody who was responsible for keeping the road clear. So anybody who was in need of refuge had the freedom to run. And there wouldn't be anything in the road that would inhibit them. Like, we also, by our thanksgiving and by our fellowship with God, have this in our life where we are clearing the road for other people also, so that they can run boldly to the throne of grace. I don't want to have anything in me that would be selfish about God's grace or about this. And I don't want to have anything in me that would inhibit anybody else from running boldly to the throne of grace. So, just don't be discouraged, but always go and understand that you cannot overextend yourself when you're receiving from God. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for this night. Thank you for the joy that you've put in our hearts. Thank you for the great, great purpose that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for supplying for us. Thank you for drawing us. Lord, thank you. Bless our day tomorrow as we gather with family, with friends, Lord, whatever it is. And just bless every meal, every meeting, every gathering. Give us opportunities to glorify you and to present the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.